regardless of the outcome. Boost the positive energy without one. Sorry about the jab, I'm on a holy field. I'm bearing fruit, but demons try to eat them like Yoshi meal. I piss them off the Batman like Falcone deals. Jungle full of predators, I know how Mowgli feels. So I got the fire, refuse to live in fear. I can spot suppliers in a fresh scrubs.
Welcome to episode 105 of the Permaculture Pimpcast, the only pimpcast on planet Earth where we discuss permaculture, preparedness, and practical living. How you doing, son?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm good. This episode brought to you by Hickory Ridge Soap from twooldcrowshomestead.com.
Turn that simp into a pimp.
Bam! Heaven's Harvest, y'all. Get your seeds over there. They're batting 1,000 for us down there. 10% off with promo code PERMA. Get everything that you can't grow, get everything that you can't produce or everything you can't freeze dry over there at Heaven's Harvest. All your preparedness needs, make sure you get it done over there. And also do not forget that you can tip a pimp over there on the Fountain app, where you can listen to all your podcasts in double the speed, triple the speed. You can listen to them all over there. And son, I just realized, man, I got it somewhere in my phone. I got to pull it up of that little boy. They said, tip a pimp.
Yeah.
if they're listening right now, if we ever do get around to getting a, I don't know, what do you call that? Like a montage made or something like
oh,
that?
Oh, yeah, for the intro.
Yeah, like we got to have that on there. He's like, yeah, tip a pimp.
Yeah.
This little boy, man, he cracked me up. I don't know why I just thought about that. All right, y'all. So tip of the day, make a power list. Okay, what that is in a nutshell, and I got it from Andy Frisella, is basically take the 5 most important things of your day. Things that are going to advance your business, things that are going to advance yourself. Something that's going to advance your life, take 5 of those things, put them on a list, check them off, and do not get distracted, because what I found myself doing is I have a little sub-list underneath.
Yeah, Dad, I know you guys don't know, but Dad is the master of lists. In my whole life, Dad has always had lists on lists on lists. And like from my point of view, it always seems daunting. Like, oh man, you are never getting any of this stuff done. I mean, not because like you're not working at it, just because like there's just so much on the list.
Right. And that's where that power list became crucial.
Yeah.
And we're going to spend a fair piece of this show talking about where I've been slipping and how it might help everybody else out there. But yeah, that's what helped me out. You're right. Every single day I'd have a list, and it would drive me crazy that your mom didn't, because I'd say, well, hey, did you do this? No, I forgot. Well, why don't you make a list? And then, you know, I'm like, okay, here we go again. But the point of it being is that it makes you laser focused on the most important things of the day, and you win the day. You win the day. And lately, I haven't been winning a whole lot of them. And part of that has to do with putting ridiculous things on there that I can't possibly complete. And you know that that's one of my biggest flaws is that I schedule way too much for a day because I love what I do. And I schedule way too much on there, but it's also demoralizing when you don't get it. We're going to talk more about that in a little bit. Okay, so straight on the farm news. Well, Michelle is gone. She's back in New York visiting family, and she's going to be back soon.
Yeah.
Son, you got some things going on. You're out there working hot and heavy on those rice knives.
Yeah, getting those. Well, those ones just flat out sold out over the weekend. So, y'all, if you want a rice knife, as soon as we announce it, get it. Because apparently, I don't know where the high demand for rice knives came from out of nowhere.
Well, it is probably the most important tool, well, in the garden anyway.
Yeah, it's definitely the most, like, versatile and helpful tool in the garden.
You know, I like, you know, the handle's handy. You know, obviously the knife part of it is excellent for chop and drop, and we use it all the time. But also that handle, you know, that has an application as well because it's extra long.
Yeah.
You can poke it in the ground and put your plant starts in it. I mean, it's just efficient. Yeah. It's a very efficient tool. That's what I love about it.
The cool thing about it is that not like no matter how old and how raggedy and how beat up it gets, it always still cuts what it's meant to cut. It always still cuts that vegetation because of the serrations on there.
Yeah.
So if you guys are looking like there are some rice knives that have just plain edges, they're not serrated, I would stay away from that because that's an edge you got to maintain way more frequently versus a rice knife that has very many like serrations. Well,
that one
on
in the
there.
Back of that truck, I ain't maintained it a bit, and it's still working.
We don't maintain any rice knives. Yeah. Like they last as long as we, you know, don't lose them.
Yeah, that's that's the number one thing right there. All right, so another little piece. I'm doing a little bit of electric work on the side. For those that don't know, I made, you know, much of my career as a journeyman electrician, and I'm doing a little bit. And you know what I'm finding out is I actually miss doing the work because I'm good at it, especially, you know, when it comes to like conduit bending and stuff like that. I miss the work, but I'll tell you what I don't miss is working for someone else.
Yeah.
You know, I'm right now, folks, I don't know where it is where you are, but it's near impossible to find a craftsperson.
Yeah.
And I don't care what it is. I'm sitting here talking to my friends that I'm doing this work for, and they are catching the blues just trying to find anybody. And as far as them finding people for their business, I mean, we're talking some pretty accomplished chefs over here.
Yeah.
That have worked all over this planet, and they can't even, or a person, you know, Donnie was telling me today, had a person show up, and he's like, and they're like, hey, first day on the job, they're out there taking a break, and they're like, hey, didn't you just take a break like half an hour ago? They're like, well, I just need to take a break every time, you know, I feel like my body's telling me to. They're like, how old are you? 20 years old. Okay. Here's your check. Get to stepping.
Yeah. On the clock.
Yeah. And apparently that's, you know, that's more than.
You know that subdivision that went up just like overnight down the road? That, I was wondering about that. Like, where do they find the workforce, or like what company did they hire? They have to own their own slaves or something.
Man, I'm telling you, that thing went up like nothing I've ever seen before. I would not want to buy one of those houses. I can tell you that. But hey, here's some good news. Well, all of it's good news to us, you know, depending on your perspective. And honestly, there was something I heard. I'm going to have to talk about it in the next podcast. Speaking of perspective and how you look at things, I heard Dr. Carrie Maddie. I'd like to get her on this show sometime. I'm going to have to reach out to her. She said some things that were kind of earth-shattering to me. And I'll have to cover that maybe in another interview. But anyway, another great news, strawberries and blueberries and raspberries are all starting to kick right at the same.
Have you tried any of those raspberries?
Son, I ain't tried nothing.
Well, you got to try one. I mean, they taste like candy. Well, I've never had raspberries that were, like, raspberries have always been, like, they've always been there.
Yeah, I was, you know what I mean? Fan, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, I don't dislike it, but it's not like something I'm going to go for at a grocery store or like a potluck or anything like that. But these ones taste like almost like cotton candy.
Well, judging by all the strawberries Emily pulled up out of there today.
Yeah.
I mean, man, we're still, I mean, coming out of our eyeballs.
Well, she was saying a lot of them are going rotten because it's been raining the past, I don't even know how many days.
We need to get down there full force and just kind of get them all up. I mean, the freeze dryer is just working overtime putting those things away. But you know what? These are wonderful problems to have. And now that these areas are becoming very, very fungal dominant, those blueberries are really starting to kick.
Yeah.
So that is awesome. But it's cool. Raspberries, blueberries, strawberries, bumper crop of each. And
our first, like, actual blueberry harvest this year.
Well, we put in one-year-old starts or even younger, and I'm telling you what, you really start, as this thing became fungal, good night, man. You start, you know, there's a blueberry place we used to go picking to, and you know, we might go back there because this is my favorite berry.
Where are you talking about?
Me and your mom,
what place are you talking
it's
about?
Down in Fletcher. Me and her went there last couple of years.
I was thinking in Kansas.
No, me and her went there last couple of years. I remember showing up out there, and the guy, the old timer that runs that place out there, he's awesome. He's yelling from across the parking lot. There's a lot of people there. Hey, that's that permaculture pimp. And then people are like staring at me like, so it was weird. It was weird. Anyway, good news all the way around, y'all. Gotta love a harvest. And man, I'll tell you what, that Harvest Right freeze dryer this thing is running day and night. No problems. Just keep the oil changed.
If we didn't have it, we'd be wasting like the vast majority of this harvest. Because we wouldn't be able to keep up with the canning.
Couldn't keep up with the canning, no.
The dehydrating.
Yeah.
If we were to go that route. Or, I mean, anything else.
Well, your mom done canned. I mean, last year, we still got strawberry jam and stuff put back from 2 years ago. No, last year.
Yeah.
She put back, I don't even know how much, and then she did as much this year, if not more.
It's not like we go through it very often.
Well, I imagine when she gets back, well, I mean, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Maybe that's something we can give away. I don't. Well, yeah, to a certain extent, because it's not like anybody around here is eating sugar.
Yeah, nobody, that's the thing, is like Emily, she's on this pregnancy diet. Kendra, she's eating clean. Mom's eating clean. I'm eating meat. You're eating meat and green vegetables now?
Well, yeah, I'll eat some fruit every once in a while, but I got to make sure I do it in moderation. I kind of kicked up.
Strawberry jam doesn't fit anywhere in that equation.
Well, not yet, but I got to say, you know, I kind of eased up. I was kind of playing with my diet a little bit. I did for a little bit that all meat thing. But I'll tell you what, man, I have not I really like the primal thing.
Yeah.
I've been kicking up the carbs a little bit more just to see how I feel and how everything goes. I feel good, but I'll be honest with you. These long-term fasts, Pastor Lon, him and Miss Robbie, they've been doing this fasting too, and they've been kicking it up. I got to say, I felt like $1 million the 3 days after I did that long fast.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to keep doing it. And then also I've noticed the place where, and it's like the fat just goes away from any places around your midsection. You got it. It just goes away. So I'm kind of playing with it back and forth to see what's up. So when your mom gets back, I'm going to kind of go back into straight meat and vegetables. I added some nuts here lately and a few other things, but I'm just kind of
introducing other stuff. Like I introduced, so the main reason I went to carnivore was to get rid of allergies. And I ate one of Emily's paleo cookies the other day, which is supposed to be like completely allergen free. I didn't have any kind of reactions to that. I ate some of that Meadow Sweet ice cream last night. Didn't have any reactions to that. So I don't know if it's like...
Well, you're kicking on in the summer, son. I think maybe the pollen and everything.
It wouldn't matter. Dad, my allergies, it wouldn't matter.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's just... Dead.
Yeah. So I don't know if it's like... I don't know what it's going... Like if I'm fine because I haven't had it for so long or... It's like these aren't what I'm reacting to. I don't know.
I know this much. I'm putting an emphasis, a real emphasis, doing the 75 hard on trying to dial in the best diet for me. But I'm telling you what, I'm going to kick this thing definitely into high gear. I'm going to definitely learn a lot more about fasting because I felt like $1 million. You feel like you're walking, you know, for a few days there, I felt like I was walking through the door chest first. And it's been a while since I did that. And so I'm like, okay, when your mom gets back and things get into some semblance of order around here, I got a really good idea about how I intend to do this. But that'll unfold over time. But, folks, in light of everything going on, everybody around here is trying to kick up their health, trying to get everything in order. We talked about fasting. We talked about tactical fasting. And we're going to – at least I am definitely going to kick it up way more. All right, y'all, coming up soon, Heritage Life Skills. That's going to be July 21st through the 23rd. And then later on, Kentucky Sustainable Living, October 28th and 29th. In fact, today we are going – yeah, William's wearing one of the T-shirts.
Let me turn around.
Yeah,
let me turn around for you.
Yeah, you got to see this on YouTube. Compost pedophiles. Man, Jason hit it out of the park with this one, man.
I wore it to practice today, to jiu-jitsu practice, and people were like, I need that shirt.
Man, a lot of people want this shirt. So if you want to, check out Jason over at Kentucky Sustainable Living. I got a feeling this is a shirt everybody needs to be wearing.
Just in case you weren't clear.
Well, folks, we got an extra special treat for you today. I told everybody, the first 10 people that signed up for that charity dinner at Kentucky Sustainable Living, they're going to have a VIP dinner. The first 10 people that signed up, we're going to give you 10 minutes on the show. So without further ado, our first victim is up next. All right, folks, I'm back. And this is exciting for me because the first one up in this little lineup that we're going to have of the people that donate to Vets for, or basically the charity dinner that's going to be going on at Kentucky Sustainable Living is, like I said, the first 10 people that pay up, you're going to get 10 minutes on the show. And I'm excited about it because, honestly, the outpouring of so many people, especially the selfless guy that we got on here right now, is absolutely going to blow your mind. So without further ado, we got Colby here, Colby Campbell. Okay, you're really brave because you gave your last name. How you doing, bro?
I'm doing pretty good. I didn't figure there'd be any situation about it since we've given out a website anyways, got my information. So
I know a little bit about you. But we're all going to learn a little bit more about you right now. So why don't you tell us about yourself?
Well, you know, my wife and I, we traveled all over the country for quite a while, you know, doing insurance adjusting as catastrophe adjusters. For the longest time since we've been married, I've been trying to get her to live out in the country. It was one of those deals where we were kind of in a situation where we were just leaving in the camper. We didn't have really any place to go because we were traveling all the time. So my mom ended up finding this this place out here where we are now. It was about 15 acres with a house. And what we ended up doing is we just went in half 50-50 with my parents on the deal. We bought the place. We went ahead and did a remodel and flipped it. We kept 6.3 acres on one side. My parents kept, it was like 4.5 acres on the other side. So it wasn't quite a 50-50 at the very end, but, you know, we're making that up, you know, with things around the house and their homestead as well. But so, you know, once we, you know, got the property, we got the camper out here and set it up next to it. And my wife absolutely loved being in the country. She kind of got the understanding of what it was like to have the peace and quiet, you know, people not driving by all the time. And so she was on board. So instead of developing those properties, you know, that we kept after we flipped the house, we decided to go ahead and just keep it for ourselves. And then at that point, we had the time and the money at that time. So we got the driveway cleared, the area where we're going to build the shop and the house cleared. Got the electric, sewer, water in, lived in the camper, you know, until we could get the shop done. So we knew we could build the shop for cash. So we put up a 21 by 42 building, did everything ourselves except for the concrete slab and the spray foam insulation.
Wow.
It's just, I learned all that working for my dad. So I grew up, my dad built houses, you know, every summer that I wasn't playing baseball, I was at the job site, you know, picking stuff up. You know, helping one of his crews, but, you know, siding on, framing, you know, whatever. So I have a ton of experience in the construction industry. You know, I would say I'm not an expert at anything, but I know what I'm doing enough to do it myself, you know. So that's kind of how it started. And we've been out here since 2019. We actually have, I think it's 9/11/2019 inscribed into the slab. That's when it got done. And you know, from there, you know, we started out with chickens, obviously, got the coop up, only had maybe 12, you know, there for a little while. And, then we ended up getting some pigs. We've got quail, the pigs, you know, we really love the pigs, but it's one of those deals where, I've got out of them what I want. I don't want to be a pig breeder anymore. I love, you know, raising pigs, but when I don't want them anymore, I want to be able to just put them in the freezer and move on. You know, yeah. So that was part of my stress today a little bit. We had to get three big ones loaded up and taken off to the processor this morning for some people. But luckily, I don't have to go pick them back up. So, you know, we're whittling down, trying to get rid of all the pigs. We started out, we got in a little over our head, mainly because, you know, we had some 4-month-olds that we were just trying to put in with the boar just to kind of keep him, you know, happy and not being by himself. And next thing we know, we've got three gilts pregnant. So that turned into kind of a catastrophe somewhat, you know. So, you know, these pigs we're selling out, we're not making no money off of, but we're definitely saving money, you know, in the future, not having to spend no money on feed. So that's where we're at there.
Man, it sounds like you're off and running. I see your shirt. It says faith in government. For those that are listening, faith in government defies truth, history, and reason. Okay, just from that shirt alone, I know you and I already got a lot in common, because I actually have that same shirt. Somebody sent it to me. To this day, I don't know who that is. So I'm going to make certain assumptions about you, and I'm going to assume that you, well, you know what, let me not make any assumptions. Let me just go ahead and have you take, what's your impetus, your biggest impetus for living this life, for getting out there? Is it just the fresh air? Is it this, or do you see the status quo as something you ought to be concerned about and prepare for it?
Well, honestly, you know, growing up, I grew up in the country. And so I've tried my whole life to get back to that lifestyle. You know, I like being out where I don't have anybody telling me what I can and can't do on my property. We live in a county where there's no restrictions of any kinds. You know, once you get your septic permit, you can pretty much do anything you want. You know, and that's how I want. You know, I want freedom. I don't want anybody telling me what to do, how to do it. And ultimately, you know, once we can get out here on this land, I have the ability to do a lot of these things that I enjoy doing. And one of the things I enjoy doing is teaching other people, helping other people. It's one thing that I don't get to do enough probably, but a lot of it is because I just don't really put myself out there. And a lot of that reason is just because I'm busy. You know, I do have a full-time career. So, you know, the benefit is I kind of get to make my own schedule for the most part. So, you know, when I start getting too busy, I complain a lot and then I just tell them, don't give me any more, you know, and so I'll have, you know, some more time off. But that's kind of been the way my career has been. You know, we get really busy. We have no time for anything, make some good money, and then we have a lot of time off. And I like that because, man, then I can sit there for, you know, 2 months, 3 months, and I can knock out projects on the homestead and do the things that I want to do and have the resources to do it. So
where do you see yourself? I mean, what's the ultimate goal here? You got chickens, obviously. You got pigs. You're farrowing pigs, as I understand it.
Yeah.
Not by your choice, I see. But where do you want to take all this? I mean, is it just a hobby? Is it something that you want to be a full-time lifestyle? Where do you want to take this?
Well, I absolutely want it to be a full-time lifestyle. I honestly don't want to go to work for anybody else. I've done it plenty my life, you know, and it's just not what I want to do. So ultimately that is the goal. And, you know, I'm not a real, real big risk taker in a sense when it comes to finances and jumping out there and trying to be an entrepreneur. You know, I've started a few little businesses here and there, you know, that, you know, you call them businesses, right? You're basically the only employee and you're the owner and everything else. But, you know, it's kind of a fear for me, honestly. There's just something about the entrepreneur lifestyle. You know, you hear Andy Frazella talk about it all the time, man. You're stressed all the time. You got stuff to do all the time. And, you know, I'll be honest with you, I like sitting out on my front porch in the morning and drinking coffee and just enjoying it, you know. So I'm working my way into it. We'll just put it that way. You know, my wife helps me do what I do as well, you know, so because she's a licensed insurance adjuster. So, you know, a lot of it's going to be that transition. We haven't quite figured out how we're going to get that transition to making money off of the homestead that can replenish the money that I do, you know, in a regular everyday job. But at the same time, this job, I'm getting to a point where I'm kind of starting my own thing. I have an LLC. I'm going to start, you know, venturing off into another side of the insurance business. So I can do less and make more. So I'll have more time, but I'll still be able to, you know, make plenty of money just to pay the bills. That way the homestead itself can just be growing with the money that we have coming in on the products or the services that we're selling. Now, so that's kind of the goal.
Let me switch it a little bit. You said your wife, I don't know if you have kids or anything, but was your wife, you said you're a country boy from way back. What about your wife? What's the translate? Was she always a country girl, or did she have, how was she in the transition?
Yeah, she was a city girl. You know, she's fought me for a long, long time. She didn't want to be in the country. She didn't want to be too far away from Walmart or the grocery store. You know, she wants her milk 10 minutes away at the most, you know? And so, you know, when you're used to those kind of luxuries and, you know, sometimes you don't like to change, and she doesn't necessarily like to change, you know, very quickly. So it's been a slow transition. But, you know, once you kind of put the fruits of what it is that you're trying to accomplish in front of her, she can see that that's what she wants as well. And so now it's just a matter of us kind of getting on the same page as to where we want to take this homestead and how we want to be able to make money off of it in order to, you know, get that plan rolling.
Well, I'm asking because a lot of folks out there that get into this, I can't even tell you how many times I've seen it, Colby, where one person is absolutely positively fired up on it and the other one isn't. And then typically the one who's really fired up about it, they kind of get their way and the other goes into it kicking and scratching. And I'm just wondering how it seems like you're kind of, instead of just using the old frontal assault thing and saying, hey, this is how it's going, it sounds like you're doing the smart thing, trying to titrate her into it as opposed to just pushing her right in the pool.
Exactly. You know, for the most part, you know, there's been some times where, you know, she's like, you know, she, maybe she didn't want to get the pigs at this time, or she didn't think we should have babies anymore at this time. But, you know, for the most part, she loves little babies. You know, she loves the little chickens, and, you know, she's learning to live with it. And honestly, you know, she likes it a whole lot better than when we lived in town. I can promise you that, because out here, she's got her freedom. She doesn't have to go into, I mean, now you can't hardly get her to go into town, you know? So unless the refrigerator doesn't have any milk in it, she's not going.
No, I hear you. Let me change it one more time. So you're one of the people that, that contributed to, the charity dinner that's going to be up there. Now, the extraordinary thing is you're not even going to be there at it, as I understand.
No,
I mean, why did you do that? I mean, it tells me a little bit about your selflessness, because a lot of folks would not do that. I'm just curious as to your mindset on that.
Well, honestly, man, I look at you and your family and this podcast as part of my family. Both my wife and I think the same thing.
That means the world.
And so, you know, for us, you know, we don't have kids, you know, we don't have, you know, high debt, you know, we have low cost of living, we make good money, and, you know, we're not the kind of people who buy new stuff. You know, we just, you know, material things just aren't that big of a deal to us. You know, where we live, like you said, we live in a 21 by 42 shop, you know what I mean? It has a kitchen, bathroom, and everything's open. So, but, you know, that's a sacrifice that we want to make in order to be able to do these types of things, right? If you don't have cash and you're stressed out to pay your bills, you can't help other people. And so that's why we live this lifestyle that we live. Not only that, but because we don't trust, you know, anybody else to provide food for us that we feel like could be healthy or doesn't have something in it that we don't want in it.
I totally get it. It's just the, you know, it's funny you mentioned that, you know, you view us as family, because honestly, we do exactly the same thing. And we pray for y'all. We really do. And we pray that, you know, the information that we give, we know that it's solid, but we pray that it's of some benefit to the people out there who use it and apply it and evangelize it. And, you know, it's funny because, Colby, I guarantee if you were going to this thing, if you were able to go, It's extraordinary. Every time I go to one of these things, it's like, and we always kind of laugh about it, those of us that are regulars to these things, is that it's like a homecoming. You may have only met that person at one previous festival or never even met them. And just on the basis of what of your t-shirt right now, I guarantee you, if we didn't know each other, I would go up to you just because of that t-shirt. And there'd be 30, 50 other, 100 other people doing exactly the same thing. So yeah, we see each other as family too, especially when most of us come from places where we all feel like we're outliers, where we're the odd man out, or we think a little bit differently. You know, the shirt you have right now, I get it, but there's a lot of people in the United States of Amnesia that would not get it, but a lot of people at these festivals would. So I can't thank you enough, man, for your selflessness or anything, or and everything else you've expressed here, man. I really can't thank you enough. Is there a business, or is there anything you'd like to promote regarding what it is you do?
Well, you know, ultimately, we got a website up. So it's got some pictures kind of our place, and it's got some information about us. It's got a place where you can contact us. So, you know, I've actually, you know, had a guy come out and taught him how to butcher a pig. And I've put a few feelers out there before. Not a lot of interest around here, but you know, if you have any interest at all in homesteading, in gardening, whatever it is, you know, just reach out. You know, we can be friends. Got questions?
And how would they? What's your contact information?
If you go to campbellsfarm.com, you can go to the contact link there and just hit us up. Also have an email address is directly for our farm. It is campbellfarmgarden@protonmail.com.
Colby, so, you just opened up a whole nother can of worms, because if you don't mind me asking, what part of Texas are you in?
We're in Central Texas, so we're like in between College Station and Bastrop.
Okay, but you said there's, Bastrop. Okay. It's funny because you said there's not a whole lot of interest in terms of people doing butchery or things like that. Is that what you were saying?
Let's put it this way. I put it a couple of times. I put an ad on Craigslist, said, hey, you know, if you're interested in learning how to butcher a pig, And ultimately, I was trying to do it just so I could get rid of some of my picks. You know, that was my way of maybe be able to make some money off of just showing some people how to butcher them. And I had one guy take me up on it. He came up. We did it one day. He came, you know, we stuck it in the, my neighbor's big walk-in cooler. He came back, you know, 5-6 days later, and we got it all cut up, and he was totally happy. And so we're actually going to do it again. He's going to buy another one from me, and we're going to do it again. And but it's just a matter of, you know, getting myself out there, networking with people. And the more I do that, I think the busier that I'll be in getting to show people what I know.
I think you just gave me a show topic for the next one I'm going to do, because being from back there, it's just, well, I'm not, I could open up a serious can of worms. Just know, bro, you inspired the next show. And I'm probably going to talk about it where this episode unfolds. Colby, I can't thank you enough for your selflessness, your graciousness, and please, please extend to your wife also our profound thanks. And I know all the folks over at Kentucky Sustainable Living are going to feel exactly the same way. We need a whole country of people like you, my man. Thank you so much for being on.
Thank you, Billy. Appreciate it. Love you guys.
Love you back, bro. Well, what a joy. What a joy. What a joy. All right, y'all. With that said, we're going to lean right into the homesteading pastor himself, Pastor Lon, my pastor.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Lon. I got one verse of scripture for us today. It's in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. You see, fearing God is a wise choice, a wise decision for a human being. But we're living in a culture today, you can tell they don't have much knowledge because they don't fear God. And they're playing the role of a fool because they despise wisdom and instruction anymore. You see, we should fear God because of who He is, the great I Am, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. We should fear God because He's all-knowing. He knows everything about us, even the intent of our mind, the intent of our heart. And we should ultimately fear God because He's our judge. We're going to all have to stand before Him one day. And I'll leave you with this quote. It says, when men no longer fear God, they transgress His laws without hesitation. The fear of consequences is no deterrent when the fear of God is gone.
Amen to all that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ain't nothing I can add to that, folks. Y'all want to check out more, go check out Pastor Lon, homesteading pastor on YouTube. You'll be glad you did. Extraordinary man, extraordinary family, just selfless, unbelievable people. And I'm just so grateful that he takes time out of his day. I mean, I've never in my life seen a man that wears more hats.
Man.
And he still finds time to, from time to time, he'll send me a text, say, hey, I prayed for you today. And I pray for him and Miss Robbie and their family and all.
And keep up on everybody's videos.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know how he does it. I really don't. In fact, we should have brought him on this episode as far as how to stay organized.
Yeah, no kidding.
I'm here to tell you, boy, he's got it all figured out. All right, y'all. So we're going to jump straight into bad news, good news. All right, check this out. Bad news. Basically, the Great Salt Lake is drying up. And so the Mormon Church and a number of others out there said, look, we got to start conservation. Huh.
We got to start conservation.
Well, I mean, and I'm kind of, you know, narrowing it down a little bit. But the point of it being is that, like Eric Sider said, if he was governor in California, you could end all this. You would have earthworks going full time the time. We don't have to have a water problem.
Could you? What would happen if you teamed up Dr. Elaine Ingram and Eric Sider? If you just put them together and then tell them to take care of California?
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, like Eric said, I mean, if you look, if you're in a place that doesn't get a whole lot of rainfall, then you better capture everything that does fall.
Yeah.
And generally everybody is just of the mind, and it floors me every desert I go to.
Yeah.
The idea is to run that water into some giant channel, just send it on down. And it just seems like lunacy.
If it's illegal to capture rainwater in the desert you live in, you might want to find a new desert.
Boy, you got that right. All right. Some good news. This ain't going to sound like good news, but I'm going to give you a twist about it. You may not know. So an overturned tanker carrying ammonium nitrate causes evacuations of Maryland Highway. All right. Told y'all a while back that it used to be my job to know how to do certain things in the military. Okay. When they say this is what gets me. When you say ammonium nitrate, everybody just automatically freaks out. Well, it's not just any ammonium nitrate. There's a certain type that it has to be explosive. Is it 10-20-10? Is it 34-00? Look, I'm not going to tell you which one it is, but they're not all the same. And I got another thing for you. Ammonium nitrate is extremely stable.
Yeah.
Okay? I mean, when I say stable, when we used to detonate that stuff in the military, you needed C4 to set that stuff off.
If it wasn't,
or dynamite.
If it wasn't, I don't think they'd be selling it over at, you know, Smiley's down the road.
Exactly. And there's other things you have to do to it in order. But what I'm saying is this is part of the fear game that they keep playing out there.
Yeah.
Is that, okay, first of all, I don't care what kind of ammonium nitrate it was, without heat and pressure at the same time, and a lot of it, because it's so doggone stable. Like I said, we had to use dynamite, TNT, or C4 to set that stuff off. It will not go off by itself. And even if it did, you still can't make anything worthwhile out of it unless you do something to it. And I'm not going to tell everybody what that is.
Is there a difference between dynamite and TNT?
Big difference. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, there's a lot of other things that you would take into account, like its relative effectiveness and stuff like this when you do your explosive calculations and stuff like this. But what gets me is that they play this fear game. Oh, ammonium nitrate just tipped over in a tanker. I don't care. It really doesn't mean much. I'm just glad the driver ain't dead. But by and large, it is very, very, very stable stuff. And even when it does go off, let me just tell you, it's what you use to make a cratering charge, okay? It's really good at moving earth, but very bad at moving, stripping concrete away from reinforced buildings.
Oh.
Like in Oklahoma City?
Right.
Yeah, it doesn't work that way. Yeah.
What does that?
C4.
Huh.
Has a high detonating velocity, high RE factor. It has a high, I'm speaking a lot of Greek out there. Some of the other people out there know the language I'm talking about. But what I'm saying is that it could not have done, I know I'm going sideways here, but it could not have done what they said it did in the Oklahoma City bombing. That is a fact. In fact, there was a general, Air Force general, doggone it, I wish I could remember his name right now. He's passed on since. And even he had the same criticism, like, nah, the detonating velocity is way too slow for this stuff. It's not gonna tear that building up the way it did, even a whole Ryder truck worth. So, yeah, once again, sorry, I didn't mean to go conspiratorial there, but, yeah, once again, another lie debunked by the permaculture pimp daddy. How you about that?
And that's why we're suppressed.
So you may not want to put this one on YouTube. Vermont sues Monsanto over toxic PCB contamination in school. Well, it's about time.
Yeah, what you been waiting for?
Yeah, so this stuff, I'm hoping... I've never been one of those litigious types, but I got to say, I'm not at all disappointed. When we get back, y'all, straight into it. Oh, yeah. I want to give another shout out to Van Tesla and over at Kill the Mockingbird, something of our sister podcast over there, and Joel Thomas and Chris.
Yeah.
Sean Chris. I'm
Sean
sorry.
Chris.
That's what he gets, man. No wonder I'm confused. Man. That's what you get for having two first names, Sean.
And everybody else's name that you mess up, this is what you get, Sean.
That's
Chris.
What you get, too. Yeah. Yeah. Have it. So this segment brought to you by EMP Shield, y'all. $50 off with promo code PERMA. Judging by the things going on in this world, yeah, I don't think it takes much of a sales tactic there. But the most important thing is like what we experienced last night.
Yeah, man. When I came to last night, I was standing.
Man,
yeah.
That was the worst thunderstorm. And I ain't going to lie. I swear I'm not going to lie because I thought it hit the house.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah. There was a part of me. I was thinking, dude, if it actually, because I saw the power go off and I'm like, hey, man, I think this thing hit the house. I had half of mine to go out there and check the EMP shield because I know it'll
got hit.
Blow that thing right up off the wall. And I was like, dude, that'd be the best commercial ever, but I am not trying to have lightning. Man. But I thought it did hit the house.
Yeah.
That's the worst storm I've seen since we moved to North Carolina.
That lightning had to be on the other side of the window something. I don't know.
It was bad.
Yeah.
$50 off of promo code PERMA. All right, so let's just jump right into it. So we talked about the power list earlier, and folks, I was on the straight and narrow in the most massive way when I was my first 75 hard, and particularly at the same time while I was completing Dr. Ingham's online course.
Right.
In order to do it and to do everything else, I had to be strict. No text messages, or they were very, very limited. A lot of times it just wouldn't get to them. You know, I'd get to Patreon. I'd get to my emails. I would get to the things, but I was realizing that this phone was a drain to me. So I completed that course, at least that segment of it, before I kick in the microscope part of it. And I'm finding myself, and I found myself easing back into bad habits in terms of my management of this phone. Because basically, you know, I was talking to my man Ike at that butchery about, and, you know, I'd talked before about how he basically rid himself of this smartphone. I was on my way of doing that very same thing. And then I found myself, after I completed that course, I was like, okay, I'll take a deep breath here.
Yeah.
And I'm finding myself getting into bad habits again. I don't have time to watch YouTube. I mean, every once in a while I watch Deep South Homestead, The Hollers, Jason over at So the Land, you know, Ann of All Trades, when I'm able, when they pop up, when they actually pop up in the feed. And then I saw myself easing away because I spent a fair piece of my day listening to the courses that I would later watch and then take the test for.
Right.
So here it is. I drifted right back in, sadly, into listening to political podcasts. Some of them are self-help, I'll admit. I got a few of them in there. Eric sent me that one, Diary of a CEO. A lot of good, helpful stuff on there. Andy Frisella, good stuff on there. You know, a lot of these other people. And then I found myself leaning away from the audiobooks. And I'm like, okay, it's amazing how insidious it can be. And then I'm also thinking, okay, well, since I caught myself, let me take an audit of the other areas in which I'm wasting my time. And, you know, where these distractions come in. We don't really watch TV. I turned it on the other day and watched, like, it was a documentary.
Well,
that came
out. Hold on, Dad. Be clear on that. We don't really watch TV, but you had a documentary coming in the mail. So that's a reason to watch the doc on TV.
Well, I watched that. I mean, it was a documentary. It came from Skywatch TV. And it was a documentary about Nephilim and, you know, the fallen angels and stuff like that. And some historical places where, you know, near Mount Hermon and some areas that I didn't know. And plus, honestly, this is stuff that I genuinely enjoy. And if I do anything for leisure, it's almost always history or religious based. Almost always. I did slip in an episode of Somebody Feed Phil. Now, that's one of those shows that you can't help but watch and smile.
Either you love the guy or you can't stand the guy. I think it's one of those types of shows.
I actually slipped in an hour and I watched this one that he did. I don't know where it was, but then I caught myself. I'm like, hold on. Dude, is this helpful? And then I got to thinking, you know what? If anybody earns a little bit of time to do some leisure around here, man, I know I do.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, I watched as much, I kind of broke that documentary down and watched pieces of it. And then I find myself drifting back in on this phone. And then I find myself failing on my power list because I'm just jotting things down without giving the full consideration of how long it's going to take. And then also I'm sitting here thinking, you know, how this may apply to some other people. And some things that happened over the weekend gave me consideration about high-maintenance people and how some of these people, I won't go into any detail over it, but I'm saying how a lot of these people will zap your life force from you.
Oh, yeah. There are definitely some social vampires in this world.
Where you could sit there. I have a brother, I promise you. He could win the lottery tomorrow, and he would complain in a week.
Yeah.
I promise you. He could hit it for $1 billion.
Oh, they took half. Oh, the state. Yeah, state took half.
They only got $500 million. Yeah. You know, and that's exactly how he'd be saying it. Yeah, but the point being is that you can lose a lot of time. You can have part of the distractions in your life could be on your farm, but they could also be your relationships. It might be zapping you, particularly like high-maintenance animals.
Yeah.
Do you have animals that you can't control? Animals that, you know, are getting away from you all the time. You know you ought to put them in the freezer or take them to the sale barn, but you ain't done it.
Or animals that you're just having to put a lot of thought into. Because if you're having to put a lot of thought into that and that particular animal, like if you're worried about it or you're stressing about it or something like that, then that's, you know, everything else is suffering because you're not paying full attention to everything else you're doing.
But those are simple fixes that a lot of times we overlook because we're thinking, okay, well, if it's, you know, if it's a chicken that's misbehaving, a rooster, or whatever the case, look, I'm not playing around. I'm going Old Testament on you.
Yeah.
And honestly, I'm sitting here thinking, no matter the animal, if it's stepping out of order, look, I cull heavily anyway. There's a reason for that. And when I find myself in a situation when an animal's misbehaving, well, you know, you handle it. But why is it we don't have the same expectations for people?
Yeah.
You have a person, I don't care if it's family member or not, man, if you misbehave, I'm not going to spend much time around you.
And, I mean, like, there are certain cases where, like, just because you grew up with somebody does not mean you have to maintain that friendship anymore. Like, you are going to grow away from each other. And, like, a lot of the case, if you become better, like, if not better than them, that's not what I'm trying to say, but if you improve yourself, you're going to have less and less in common with those people you grew up with.
Well, that's part of where, you know, there's a lot of the most offensive thing anybody could ever say to me. And I mean it when I say it is I know that it's meant in jest or just as a saying is when somebody I haven't seen in a while says you haven't changed a bit, which I know is a lie.
Yeah.
You tell me that, I know you're lying. Number one. Well, number two, you probably, you know, it's probably just a saying, but it's always annoyed me because I don't even recognize who I am from just a year ago.
I don't
recognize the me from a year ago. And I think that's a wonderful thing. I like to think that's a good thing. But we have these drains in our lives, whether it's that phone, but we tend to forget about, look, I don't put up with high maintenance animals and I ain't going to put up with high maintenance people.
I think before any of that, before you start work, because I see where you're going with it, but some people just heard that and immediately jumped to the high maintenance people that they have in their life and then blame them for 100% of the reason that they're not accomplishing what they're trying to accomplish. Before you worry about any of those high maintenance people, like, fix what you got going on.
Yeah, you got to get your own house in order. But on the same token, the thing that gets me is that the biggest drain out there can be some of these friends or relationships, people who have to constantly be coddled.
Yeah.
Okay, that's one of my biggest annoyances. Look, I'm going to line you out, and I'm going to leave you alone. If you keep pestering me every 15 minutes, then you're going to – look, I'm going to have a conversation with you. And if I have to constantly – because once I line you out and show you what needs to get done, I got work I got to do, and I need my brain focused on what it is I need to do without you coming up to me every 5 minutes, or you're having some crisis every 10 minutes. Look – I wish you well, but look, I can't have you in my life.
No.
If you need to be, or you're constantly, you know.
If you're having a crisis every 10 minutes, there's a clear lack of common sense. Like, you're missing it somewhere. You know what I mean?
Well, there's a spiritual burden, too, I think, that's probably in there.
But until there's you get something
that worked out, look, I don't have time for this.
Yeah.
It's all I can do to manage me every day. I mean, I don't manage anywhere near as much as Pastor Lon.
No.
And he's good at all of them. And then here it is.
And a boatload of common sense.
Yeah. Yeah. But what I'm saying is that I don't manage nowhere near that much. And I struggle with what I'm doing. You know, it takes a lot of time to figure out just one part of my day that takes a little bit of time for me is I'm trying to figure out exactly how do I convey what it is I want to do in this video that's going to be a blessing to people?
Yeah.
Because I'm not in the YouTube business to just do drama out there and create drama or you know, these people that have, like, drifted on into the fear game and stuff like that. It's not my game, and it's never going to be. Now, from time to time, I may talk about those things. Even though I know that our numbers go through the roof every time I do it, I don't do it.
Yeah,
I don't do it. I'm like, I'm a how-to, man. I hope that somebody will go in there who's new to this game and saying, gee, okay, well, how do we make compost? How do we raise chickens? How do we raise them for free? How do we feed our pigs for free? I'm hoping that those people find these videos, and I'm sitting here putting in a lot of effort and thinking, okay, what can I put out there that will be a blessing to these folks. Also with the ones on Patreon, I'm like, okay, these people cared enough to drop a dollar at least.
Yeah.
What can I do to give them something? Even though it's a short video, that takes a little bit of time. Putting together a show takes a little bit of time. And I just don't have time to sit here and text people back and forth 30 times a day.
Yeah, one thing the list helps me with is knowing what I can work on next. Like if I'm, let's say I'm working on editing one of these videos, like one of the Pimpcast videos. Those take a long time just because it's a very large file. Like the audio and the video is very large, especially when I accidentally record it in 4K. That definitely takes a long time. But like while that's rendering, which is going to take about an hour and a half, while that's rendering, I can look at my list and see, okay, I can do this next. Because I don't know if you remember when I was a little kid, but whenever you would like send me to the room to like go clean up room. Or something, I would start cleaning, and then I would see a toy, and then I'd get distracted. That hasn't changed. I'll still get distracted if I don't have a list that I can refer back to.
Your mom is the same exact way. Let her get in there, start cleaning out a box. Man, I'll go back 3 hours later. She's still fooling around, messing around in this box.
Yep.
And I'm like, okay, well, I know where William got it from.
Yeah, but that list is something that I can look back to. Like, this is done. And where the discipline part like has to come in is going back and checking that list.
Here's where I've been screwing up is that now I got the five critical tasks of the day. And then I got this little small print at bottom. Like, if I finish these five, I can move on to these others. But I find myself jumping down doing the others instead of staying focused on the most important ones. That's why they made the list. So I'm like a complete dummy. I'm sitting over here and I'm like, okay, I got myself out of sorts here. And that's why I wanted to talk about it, to not only give myself accountability through the audience, but I know that it's got to help other folks out there who are trying. Look, we're all busy. Our money is worth less. Okay. It's not that things cost more. Your money's worth less. And we have limited time to do these things. So I'm trying to make my life as full as I can, and I'm trying to think in a different way. And like I said, I like to get Dr. Carey on here and talk about something that was really paradigm changing for me. Maybe I'll get into it in the next one. But look, y'all, when we get back, we're going to go straight into the Q&A. He gon' save us, left and right, squabbling while he got chips for your heads, calling him courageous. No way, no, I answer to no one, start calling me Nado. Digital cheese on the way, though. Get you a bowl of Alfredo. It's a woke summer, I need another booster. Before I hit the beach, BLM on my koozie. All right, back again. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Permaculture Pimpcast. All right, this episode, or at least this segment, brought to you by Harvest Right Freeze Dryers. Look, y'all, not overselling it. That thing is probably one of the best purchases we've ever made.
Don't be a simp and waste your harvest. Be a pimp and preserve your harvest.
Bam. I doubt they'll be using that as a slogan.
All right. I don't think they're going to purchase that one.
Well, Karen, thank you so much. She sent this back a little while ago. Like I said, weird stuff going on with the emails, y'all. So if I don't respond, and I got to also be honest with y'all, we're getting so many of them that I'm not sure we're going to be able to get through everybody's response. In fact, there's a great many of them that I can't get to on the show anymore. So we're growing that much. And I thank you all for reaching out. And if we can get to some of these, we certainly will. Karen says, basically, she was telling me about these crazy drivers. This is in response from a while ago. And, they got this dynamic cruise control. I know exactly what you're talking about. Where this car starts these new cars.
Oh, yeah.
We rent one, these suckers start driving themselves or keeping you in the lane doing. It's a little too intuitive for me, and I don't like it.
The only one I want moving the wheel is me if
I'm
driving.
That's what I'm talking about. I ain't even trying to have. Because honestly, if it can do all that, who's to say somebody can't reach in there and program this thing and run you up in the ditch or something?
Well, yeah. And then, like, the constant beeping, too. Like, if I want to know, I'll look.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, these things are a little bit like part of that nanny state.
Some of these noises and stuff are more jarring than the actual wreck.
Yeah. She also says, love the show and thank you for the pig processing class with Jason. I thank you so much for checking it out. And by the way, she's reminding me, is now in that pig processing class, we also have the scalding portion of that in there as well. So if anybody's looking to get into pig processing, go over there and check it out. Is it still linked in the bottom here, son?
If it's not, it will be.
Yeah. Make sure you start linking that in there, because we now have that. We're going to be constantly adding stuff, you know, with every processing. We'll start adding charcuterie in, sausage making, all that kind of good stuff.
Right. Got one from user 2954, and this is on the Fountain app in response to episode 103. Love this idea. I've been asking folks to do the same, talking about the fasting. Fast and train before the hard times arrive. Strider is on point. Please read that book for women and wives. They fast and react way differently than men. Ask me how I know. Learn that the hard way. Thankfully, my wife was understanding. Another day. Sounds like a similar scenario. Another book is I Disagree by Dr. Patrick Flynn. Electrolytes make or break the game. You did three. Time to go for the full week.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to be working a whole lot more and getting more into that. I mean, I'm not kidding you, man. Once I recovered, man, I felt like a million bucks.
And then the book he's talking about, he and Strider are talking about, is Fast Like a Girl.
Yeah, by that same doctor. Yeah, your mom, when she gets back, when she gets settled and everything, yeah, we're going to see if we can straighten. I mean, she's so doggone disciplined. And I mean, your mom can eat for performance. For years, she has. I mean,
Mom can disregard flavor and texture and taste.
Same with your grandma too.
Oh, that's for doggone sure. Some of the oatmeal she's made, man.
Oh man, yeah. So, we're gonna be. I am definitely gonna put a lot of work in on it. All right, Kyle says, thanks for the shout out, pimp. Basically, he's got a YouTube channel, Backwoods Butcher 603. Yeah, so go check him out over there. Got to check it out myself.
Backwoods Butcher.
Backwoods Butcher 603.
That's pretty cool. Got one from Agatha Raisin. Locals is like Patreon, but it's a free speech platform. You can open access for all to read articles and watch videos, and then have other videos/articles for subscribers only. Also, only subscribers can post articles, polls, and videos, and make comments, ask questions. I've been a subscriber on Viva Barnes Law for a number of years and has been a great source of information. Another awesome locals channel is America's Untold History.
Yes, I love that. I love the YouTube channel, man.
Oh, subscriber get access to the library/information.
Yeah, check this out. That is my guilty pleasure as of late. America's Untold History. I'd love to have these guys on here. They have little snippets like they were going through the Kennedy assassination, and then William McKinley, and the guy that they got on there, man, is just, I mean, he's an absolute dynamo. I mean, he's got to have the craziest photographic memory ever, but there's two guys on there. It's entertaining, and it's also like a culted history. Some of it in the past, I'm not sure I agree entirely, but it's pretty cool. Yeah, America's Untold History on YouTube. Tell them Billy sent you. I really enjoy, I don't know how I came across that, but I hear him talking about locals on there all the time. And I'm thinking, okay, well, maybe I need to check this thing out, man, because Patreon, I'm not liking how they're treating the people that are paying. So I got to look into this locals and see what's up.
Did you also know that Barnes Law won?
No, I didn't know.
Viva Barnes Law?
Yeah, I know who that is, but I didn't. I'm not subscribed over there. But America's Untold Stories, yeah, I'm a big fan of that doggone thing. Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of really neat, a lot of stuff from the Kennedy assassination, like they did the one on William McKinley. There's certain parts of it I think I've heard more about, but it's just really, really occulted kind of history that you're not going to find every day. All right, so Crab Bill says, my pullets discovered the first comfrey plant in my orchard and are devouring it, just in case anybody says chickens don't eat comfrey.
Oh, they definitely eat comfrey. Yeah, check out those Chicken Tractor on Steroids playlists. They definitely eat comfrey. Got one from Nomad Joe. Great interview. I appreciate you being him to our bringing him to our attention. That was the cop that escaped to Idaho.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Eli, man, awesome dude.
Yeah. You want me to go again?
Yeah. Well, go ahead.
All right. I got one from Freeman 0621. Tiffany is remarkable and never give up. I'm going to persevere individual. She is the epitome of our community. She just figures stuff out no matter what.
Yeah, man. I can't wait to get her back on. I sent her a text. I've never had so much feedback on a guest before.
People love her.
Yeah.
I mean, we still get, that was you know, a few episodes ago, and we still get comments on
her. she's really something else, man. And you know, looking at where she came from, man, it was just a joy to speak to her. And folks, this is exactly what I was talking about. We don't need famous people all the time to interview, although there are some interesting, well-known people out there. But there are even more interesting people like Eli and her that are, you know, that I think are in many ways even more compelling, because these are people that I can reach out and touch, that I can relate to, you know, that are doing astonishing and incredible things all over this ecosystem we all inhabit. Chris is over here with a few questions. Says, about the perimeter hot fence, what kind of energizer or charger do you use? Basically, everything and anything that Greg Judy recommends, a lot of it's going to come from New Zealand or Australia, believe me, or Germany. If it didn't come from there, y'all, don't buy it. How many joules? It depends on what I'm using. At least two a lot of times. There's one up there I have. There's four. Greg uses one. Man, I forget how many joules that thing's pulling, man, but it's running several farms.
Don't you we have a couple that are StayFix right now.
Yeah,
do you StayFix, like those?
Yeah, StayFix. That's one of the ones Greg Judy uses. Okay. StayFix, yeah. I love the settings on them.
The settings are cool.
AC and DC.
Yeah.
Well built, nice punch all the way around. How many miles does it support? Well, it all depends on what you're doing with it, whether you're running electronet or whether you're using polywire. It's all going to change based on what you're doing. Is it a solar rig? No, I'm not a big fan of solar. I like using DC batteries depending on where it is, or I use AC on the house. But I'm also in the preparedness, so I can use my solar array to charge up those batteries. That's part of why I like doing DC systems.
Yeah.
Is that I can use I can get deep cycle batteries and keep going after it. But if things go sideways, and I wondered that if people that are entirely relying on AC systems for your fence chargers, if things go sideways, well, you're going to be in a bind. A lot of those solar ones don't carry the kind of punch I like. Only time I like a solar is if I'm going to use it to trickle charge a battery.
Is there a danger in having too powerful of a charger?
Not anymore, I don't believe. If anything, it'll burn off. I mean, if it's high enough, it'll basically take out the stuff that's near that fence. But yeah, I guess in certain cases that could be a hazard.
Oh, like a fire danger.
Yeah, it could be in the wrong circumstances.
Got one from Jolly Rogers on the Fountain app. I think I speak for a lot of us when I say, please do a few history podcasts or make it a section on every podcast. True history needs to be taught.
You know, I was kind of thinking about that.
I remember when I was a kid, you were mulling over the idea of becoming a history teacher.
Yeah.
You ever think it was going to be over a podcast?
No. I mean, I govern a lot of the decisions I make based on what I know from history, like in terms of preparedness. And I've been really mulling over in my mind all the historical reasons why, look, y'all, don't fall out of your chairs when I say this, but a lot of the people on the left are far more prepared than the people on the right in terms of resupply. Yep. And that's all based on history. So just off the top of my head, you know, I'm thinking about Pyrrhus. Everybody's heard of the term a Pyrrhic victory. You know, I won't get into it right now, but I was actually going to give a pretty relevant history lesson. Bottom line is, based on what I know about history and looking at the backdrop of what's going on right now, the people on the left, believe it or not, I'm probably going to do a long form video on this, and it's probably going to irritate a lot of people, but it's going to be pure veritas. The people on the right are good at beans and bullets. And when I say beans, I'm talking storable food. Most of the people I know in that MAGA crowd in the other place, they don't have a clue on how to grow food and don't want to know.
No.
Don't want to know. They're like, I got my 6 months put back, or I got my month put back. Well, what happens when that month and a day comes along?
It's probably because they were disciplined for a period of time enough to save up to buy the food. And now they think like, oh, I can just blow the rest of this.
Yeah. So on the basis of history, in fact, I'm glad you brought that up. On the basis of history, I'm going to hopefully give some people some food for thought.
Okay.
Because of just history reasons alone. Okay. We got, almost gave this guy's name away. Recently purchased two, I'm not quite sure what he's saying here entirely on the comfrey. He says only 7 of the 21 came up. Okay, here's what
you
do.
Well, there were 24 in there. Huh? There were 24 in there.
Well, I guess he lost a couple, but okay. So anyway, of the ones that do come up, first of all, don't put them in potting soil because I've been getting this a lot lately. And then I find out 9 times out of 10, either people put them in some kind of rich soil. Comfrey doesn't do well there.
No, Comfrey loves crappy soil.
Yeah, so you're going to want to do that. But if you're in a place where, let's say, 7 came up, look, the stuff grows quick. Propagate those 7. If you have whatever comes up, propagate whatever came up because it clearly does well there. But a lot of the times, the problems we run into with people with comfrey and growing comfrey is that you didn't follow the instructions. You want to try to do that. You want to keep it away from potting soil. 9 times out of 10, that's where the problems lie.
Yep. Got one from the YouTube channel, Permaculture Pimpcast. Check us out there. It's linked down below. Got one from Jesse Was Here. Another great show, guys. Quick question. What was the name of the fasting podcast you mentioned? I would love to add to my knowledge on fasting. It was
Was it linked in there?
Yeah, it was. It was Diary of a CEO.
Diary of a CEO, yeah. If you go to that podcast where we were talking about it, go to the show notes there, and it was linked in there. So at least it should have been.
Yeah,
so,
it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Ryan's saying, first, congratulations to William and Emily. Just this week, my wife and I found out we're expecting our second child. Congratulations, Ryan and wife.
Yeah.
Anyway, he says, but Billy, you're going to have to change your name from Grandpa, Papa. I'm thinking Grand Pimp.
Grand Pimpin'. Grand Pimpin'. Grand we got Pimpin'. Grand Pimpin', and then what are we going to call the baby? Just Pimpin'.
No. Because the Bible says a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches and loving favor rather than silver and gold, son. So
that's not going to be her legal name.
Yeah, I know that, but even in jest, I wouldn't. Yeah.
All right. Here's one from Laurel Anderson. William, what is the comfrey book you speak of? It's like the encyclopedia of comfrey. It's not up here in the office right now. I'll have to link it down below, I guess, because I can't think of the name of it. It's like the livestock and medicinal uses for comfrey or something. And there's like a volume 1, volume 2.
Andrew says, Billy, I think someone needs to print a t-shirt that says drinking water in insert county is not currently affected. I've heard that phrase at least 3 times lately. He says he sent this link. Train carrying potential contaminants derails in Yellowstone River in Montana. And basically it shows a picture here and is also an ABC News link. And just bridge just decided, hey, I'm coming down today.
Yeah, we need to check that bridge, Dad. We need to check those bridges.
Yeah, probably ought to get up there and take a look, man. There's, definitely something weird going on here.
Yep. Got one from Big Daddy Don on the YouTube channel. Great interview. I love those types of pimp casts. It allows us to see into the lives of people who have the same desires and aspirations for their family, community, and country. When we see other people struggle with the same obstacles that we face, it gives us hope that we can overcome them with perseverance. We wish you well, Eli.
Yeah, we do. And everybody else, y'all. We're going to try to start doing an interview a week. That's where we're going to kick it in. I know we're already up to our eyeballs with so many things, but I feel like there are so many wonderful people out there doing so many wonderful things, and I have access to certain information where I don't necessarily have it, but I know how to get a hold of these people.
Yeah.
And I want to get them on there because I know that they will edify your life in the most massive way. Kathleen sent one, and I thought it was really good. And I think it just put an exclamation point on a lot of what we've talked about in the past concerning preparedness. She said, basically, no need to read this on the podcast. I just heard this from Carolyn Thomas of Homesteading Family on it's a podcast on producing your own oils on the homestead. And she talks about fats and food storage. It was pretty enlightening. And okay, that's exactly what I'm talking about. Look, yeah. I know it's like consider you don't bring up other people's podcasts and your podcasts. Look, I know all the radio cues and the things. I don't play that game. If somebody is better at this than me, then they will have outcompeted me. They provide better information than me. look, I don't have any problem. I'm
but
not
it's also not a competition because we're not competing for time slots.
But other people do, and they are reluctant. I hate it when they sit here and they're reluctant to bring up another podcast. Look, I will tell you where I got all this information. Hopefully it's edifying to you as it has been to me. I don't have a problem talking about other podcasts. And I hope they do well, especially in the farming space, especially in the self-help space.
Yeah.
And anyway, so this podcast, I didn't get to check out all of it, and I hope to. But yeah, Homesteading Family on Producing Your Own Oils. Look, y'all, that is so incredibly important. We've talked about fat. Everybody in the preparedness world. Okay, let me tell you, let me ask you this. How many of these, I haven't actually looked, so I don't really know the answer to this. But how many of these supply companies that supply preparedness products supply fat?
I would say most of them don't. I'd say they probably just supply like carbs and call it good.
And that is the fats are your most important calorie that you need to store in so many different ways.
Yeah.
Number one for flavor delivery. Number two for, you know, you get 9 calories per gram, whereas carbs and protein only provide 4. It can give you a big power punch. It can make all the difference in the world in so many different ways, but people do not put emphasis on fat, and you can get it. Shelf-stable coconut oil, you can still get that pretty cheap in places like Sam.
You can get tallow. You can get ghee. I mean, you can make your own ghee. You can buy a bunch of butter and clarify it yourself.
Yeah, you can get that. There's a lot of shelf-stable stuff. That is the one big area in preparedness where a lot of people are missing the boat. That's why I put so much emphasis on it. And as far as growing some of the fat, that's why I can't wait to check out that podcast. Because, obviously you got nuts out there. That's the hardest thing to find in nature. And one cool thing about a pig is obviously it's going to put on fat.
Yep.
Chickens, you raise them right, you're going to get that nice yellow fat. So, don't dismiss the fat. And I want to thank you for pointing that out to me. That's a pretty important thing. A while back you said, this guy's asking, and there's a number of others. He was basically saying, hey, is Bocking number 4 sterile? Yes, it is. You got to literally dig it up. He says, a while back when you sold out of Comfrey, we were given some Comfrey that wasn't sterile. We didn't plant it, but we've kept it alive. Is it super invasive? Look, you don't know what you're getting when you get seeds from some of these Comfrey.
Yeah.
I've heard some horror stories out there. I don't know what to tell you on that. I'm not trying to sell mine. Maybe it's great. Maybe it isn't. But I know this Bocking number 4, son. You want to tell them why we use it?
Well, it's just the highest, and it seems to be the best variety of Comfrey for our homesteaders. It's not going to run on you and take over. It's it's the best tasting. It's the least bitter for animals. It's the highest in allantoin levels. I mean, it just seems to be the best version of Comfrey for homesteaders.
Also asking about that wood chipper t-shirt. Yeah, check out Kentucky Sustainable Living, y'all. And also, don't forget, they got that festival coming up. We're going to be there. Well, I'm going to be there. And,
I'm going to be there. Catching a baby.
Yeah. And before I agreed, I didn't realize my grandchild was going to be coming in the world. So, Hopefully that, you know, they
you
wait
tell
for
Emily
me.
To what?
Yeah.
You tell Emily to hold on.
Yeah, y'all hold things up till I get back. Yeah. Finally, got one also here from Steve. He was wondering about the name of that knot in the video, the one we did on training trees. It's called a prusik. And a lot of people were saying, look, as a little side note, they were saying they hang bottles on there and I can give you 100 reasons why that's probably not the best way to go about it.
Hanging a bottle
with water in it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The wind catches
starts
that
bouncing.
Thing. Yeah, it starts bouncing. That's not necessarily the best thing. That's a good way to lose a limb, especially a small one. That's why hangers and things like that have historically been used. But so many people wrote in there they use bottles. But that method where I invented, it's called a prusik knot, P-R-U-S-I-K. And that's the knot I use. It's one of the best knots out there that most people do not know about.
Yeah, we use it all the time.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I've taught you that one a long time ago because it is one of the most useful knots.
Yeah.
In so many different ways. I mean, so many different applications. All right, y'all. Hopefully this was a blessing to you. Until next time, stay alert.
Stay alive.